Jesus, Moses, and an old man are playing golf.
They approach the most difficult water hole on the course. Moses steps up and puts his drive straight into the hazard. He calmly walks to the edge of the pond and raises his club. The waters part. Moses walks down to his ball and chips it into the green. Jesus, up next, also sends his drive into the hazard. He calmly walks over the water, locates the ball, and chips it out within a few feet of the pin. The old man is now nervous. He smacks his drive straight towards the water. Just before it splashes, an enormous fish leaps from the pond, snatching the ball from midair. On its way back down, it's snatched by an eagle who begins to carry the fish away. Another eagle appears, wanting to challenge the first, and the two majestic birds fight talon to talon, causing the fish to drop. The fish lands on the green, the ball spurts from its mouth and bounces, then rolls, stopping a few mere inches from the pin. At that moment, an earthquake trembles the ground, and the ball shakes and jolts for a few seconds, then bounces and plops into the cup, a hole in one. Jesus looks at Moses and shakes his head, then turns to the old man and says, "Quit messing around, Dad, and play some golf." What would you like to achieve this morning? Would you like to receive a sermon? Or would you like your life to be changed and inspired today?
Changed and inspired.
That's what I thought. The Bible says we don't have because we don't ask, so let's start there. Join me in prayer. Father, in Jesus' name this morning, we say thank you. Thank you for the gift of being your children. Thank you for the gift of your love and the gift of your Holy Spirit. Fill this place today. Fill it with your presence, with your message, with your words, that each of us may be inspired and changed in some way to serve you more this week. May our eyes and ears be open, our hearts ready to receive and discern, that we may be stronger in our relationship with you. I ask this in your powerful, majestic, holy, and wondrous name. Amen. Pentecost, Jewish holiday, which means 50. Falling exactly 50 days after Passover, it was also known in the Old Testament as the Festival of Weeks. Jews would travel to Jerusalem for this holiday, some even staying after Passover to await Pentecost's arrival. Pentecost was a harvest time of the early summer, where the first fruits were gathered and offered in part to God. And this special holiday is where we find the disciples in Acts chapter 2, a chapter of scripture outlining a promise fulfilled, the promise of the Holy Spirit. So here we are, Pentecost. The gang is all there together. And Luke writes that when the day of Pentecost came, the called out ones were all together in one place, when suddenly a sound like a rushing mighty wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. Now we know how powerful wind can be. In seconds, a tornado can bring devastation, wipe out a whole house, a whole town. Storm winds can destroy power lines, uproot trees, power windmills, or push a sailboat across the ocean. Further, wind is not something we can see or contain, but it can be felt, it can be heard. And this was a wind they both felt and heard. Suddenly, out of nowhere, taken off guard, surprised, totally unexpected. Here they are sitting around and bam, suddenly. The word rushing describes something being driven downwards very loudly. And the word mighty is best translated as the word violent. The wind described here is a wind that comes out of nowhere, mighty, violent, driving downward so loud that everyone instinctively covers their ears because the noise is so overpowering. Something completely invisible and epically powerful. And keep in mind something else. It filled the room. It didn't pinpoint one person more than the other. It didn't miss an inch. It filled the room like light fills the darkness, like water that reaches the deepest creases. It filled the room. And then next, they saw tongues like flames of fire that separated and rested on each one of them. A demonstration that the Holy Spirit had come to dwell within them. And because of that dwelling, that residing in them, they were able by the Spirit to begin speaking in different languages. Now remember, I told you people came from all over the place to Jerusalem. You had a mixing pot of languages, culture, ideas, and the disciples just start giving it, declaring the magnificent acts of God in various tongues, native tongues, languages that made people pay attention. And all those people who traveled from afar start to hear it. Now just imagine the scene. This ridiculous wind has just hit, and now these men are spouting off in a multitude of native tongues, beyond what anyone would ever believe. Now, this incites both amazement and also confusion. They're even accused of being drunk. These guys must have been doing keg stands at the wine barrel all morning. And it's Peter who steps up and says, nope, no wine here. This is the Holy Spirit. We are literally filled with the Holy Spirit. And he quotes Joel, who prophesied about this very thing, how God would pour his Spirit on his servants. Many of these people had seen the miracles and wonders Jesus had done, and Peter schools them on how they had treated him. He reminds the people of the victory of his resurrection, and he and the other disciples are filled, not afraid. They're willing to boldly and publicly risk everything to proclaim what they knew, what they had seen, what they had experienced. Jesus had returned to the right hand of God, and the Holy Spirit had been poured into them as promised. That's what was happening, and that's what they were seeing. And when Peter is done with them, the whole crowd is pierced to the heart, verse 37. They say, what should we do? And Peter's quick to help them repent and be baptized. 3,000 souls brought to Christ that day. The start of the church age, a mission started here, carried on today until God calls us home. All by means of a gift, the Holy Spirit. And what a gift. Delivered by an invisible, epically powerful wind, bringing a fire of multiple tongues to dwell in them, to confess the truth of Christ so that souls may be saved. The gift of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. And this gift, this Holy Spirit, is so much more. The Holy Spirit is not merely an attitude or an atmosphere. He is the voice of the Godhead to us. John 16, 13, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. The Holy Spirit is also more than a presence. You know, regular old people can have a presence. An idea can have a presence. Your pet can have a presence. A bird in your backyard can have a presence. But the Holy Spirit is much more than just a presence. Think of it this way. The smell of a chuck roast after 8 hours in a crock pot when you walk in the door after work. Can you smell it? But the smell is not the roast. The smell is not the food. The stink is not the trash. The moo is not the cow. The horn is not the car. The Holy Spirit is more than a presence. The presence of the Holy Spirit is evidence of his friendship, his companionship, his person. The Holy Spirit is not merely a fog, wind, fire, rain, a white dove. These pictures and images simply reveal him to us, his workings, his power, his nature, his qualities. But it's more. Symbols don't mentor things. John 14:26, he shall teach you all things. Jesus told us he would be a mentor, teach you the sayings of Jesus, impart counsel. He is a comforter. John 14:16, and I will pray to the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. And the Holy Spirit can be revealed to us in multiple ways, like refreshing water. Isaiah 44, for I will pour water on him who is thirsty and floods on the dry ground. I will pour my spirit on your descendants and my blessing on your offspring. We saw in our scripture this morning, the Holy Spirit can be revealed to you suddenly like a mighty wind, like fire, which brings purification. But most important of all, the Holy Spirit will come to you the way you need him the most. Maybe as a comforter, a friend, a companion, maybe a teacher, a mentor, an advisor, maybe a healer, a restorer, creator. The gift of the Holy Spirit, a master communicator to you and through you. Repeat after me, the Holy Spirit, is a master communicator, to me and through me. We see in our scripture this morning, the Holy Spirit can change speech, provide speech immediately, suddenly. And listen to Joel 2:28. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Wow. One of the most powerful gifts of the Holy Spirit is the ability to deliver the messages of God. The Holy Spirit is a master communicator to you and through you. He affected the words of so many on the day of Pentecost, from speaking in tongues to the confession of faith and repentance. In fact, one of the first pieces of evidence of the Holy Spirit in your life is the change in your conversation. The Holy Spirit gives life to a steadfast position on Jesus. An unwavering position, a dog with a bone kind of passion. Look at Peter. Up until the Holy Spirit arrived, he was weak. He was impacted by the thoughts and the concerns of others. He was intimidated. And then he gets filled with the Holy Spirit. And suddenly, like a rushing mighty wind, his tongue is on fire. He doesn't look for the words. He doesn't stumble or question or get all mealy-mouthed. He's eloquent, impactful, filled with the Spirit, and people marveled. They were moved and transformed. The Holy Spirit is a master communicator to you and through you. And like Peter, the Holy Spirit wants to influence your conversation with others too. Acts 1:8, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. You and you and you and you, when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, you will be witnesses everywhere to the ends of the earth. Every conversation, every person, every time, when the gift of the Holy Spirit has come on you. And it will impact your boldness and aggressiveness, just like Peter. You know, the Holy Spirit talks a lot to more people than anyone else on the planet. He has a Rolodex of every single person. He knows everyone. Strengths, weaknesses, any age, any language, any absence of language, in millions of places, all at the same time, communicating simultaneously. Yet I know in my work over the years, I've heard so many friends, colleagues, express their utter loneliness. I hear people say all the time, still, man, I'm searching for a friend. I just want a true friend, someone that I can talk to at any time about anything. People are searching for an ear, a shoulder, a hug, a place of peace, of comfort, of rest. They need solutions. They have questions, problems, struggles beyond themselves. They need someone they can trust, someone they can depend on, feel supported and uplifted by, someone they can be their true self with, someone who loves them for who they are, flaws and all. People are yearning for those things. And it's no wonder, because I'll tell you what I don't hear about. It's rare for people to tell me about their incredible, never-failing, life-sustaining relationship with the Holy Spirit. And then you have all those conversations about the friendships and relationships we do have in our lives. The lunches, the dinners, the picnics, the shopping trips, the time playing golf, the baseball and football games for our kids, the retreats away with our girlfriends, the vacations we take, the things we do, the places we go. But I tell you, it's rare for people to tell me about their incredible, never-failing, life-sustaining relationship with the Holy Spirit. The adventures taken together, the meals shared, the prayer time engaged in. It's rare to hear someone say, I spent the whole afternoon hanging out with the Holy Spirit. Man, what a cool guy. I'm telling you, he's the best friend I ever had. You know, this guy is such a listener. Most of the time, I don't even have to tell him what's on my heart. He already knows. He's just there dishing out the peace and comfort and fun. Oh, my word. I'm telling you right now, if you got to go to Walmart on a Saturday morning, there's nobody to take better to take you with you than the Holy Spirit. Amen? Nope. I don't really hear that very often. We don't communicate with the master communicator. We don't take advantage of the great gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, let's be frank about it. In the scheme of relationships, we are terrible friends to the Holy Spirit. We take him for granted. We forget to invite him to things, sometimes even the big stuff. We can let days, even weeks go by without reaching out to him, and then when we do, we come loaded. And we complain a lot. I'd imagine hanging out with us isn't so much fun. Besides the fact that we sin, we have shameful attitudes, we're emotionally reckless, and our behaviors are probably questionable more often than we even see. Just imagine the Holy Spirit, the best friend you never knew you wanted or needed, the greatest of resources, just hanging out, waiting for you to do your part. Now, right now, just humor me and think of your very best friend. I don't care who they are or where they live, the person you consider your best friend who you like to spend time with and talk to. And now think of best friendship as having a scale from 1 to 10. 10 being the best friend in the whole world, and 1 being not so much. Now, my best friends are my daughter and my mother. And for me, I can tell you with great confidence, most days our relationship is at a 9 or a 10. We invest. We call. We text. We know when something's wrong with one another. We spend time together. We laugh. We cry. We share our deepest and our darkest secrets. We trust, protect, love, and support one another. How about you? Do you have a best friend or a person in your life that ranks 9 or 10 on the best friend scale? Many of us do. And if you don't, rate what you do have, or just rate yourself and how much time you spend alone with your own thoughts. Now take that same scale and place your relationship with the Holy Spirit. And I want you to be really realistic here. Don't fluff the number. Really sit in this for a minute. How often are you spending time? How often are you connecting, communicating, checking in, filled with the Holy Spirit and pouring it out? Now take a second to note the difference between those two numbers you've come up with. Our relationship with our earthly bestie is often much more nurtured than the one we have with the Holy Spirit. And let's be very clear here. I am not saying the Holy Spirit is a better best friend than your best friend. I'm saying the Holy Spirit is a way better best friend than your best friend. And the Word tells us so much about Him. I mean a ton. He wants us to seek Him, to communicate with Him, to listen to Him. He wants to teach us and reminds us of the principles of Jesus. He wants to convict you of your sin so you heal and do less of it. And talk, man, He wants to talk about your life, your dreams, about your future. He wants to help you fulfill God's purpose in your life. He wants to put you in the right place at the right time. He wants to accelerate your prayer life and your connection to God. He knows how to use your gifts, lift you from your weaknesses to be a vessel of good, to cure your loneliness, your sadness, whatever emotion you're facing. And He has a direct line to the answers to every question that perplexes you. And that just scratches the surface of what He can do. Today is simply a reminder, an alarm on the calendar of salvation to wake up and get to work, to get close to the Holy Spirit, to embrace the gift of the Holy Spirit. Today and all week, I will pray that everyone here experiences that sudden, mighty wind in their own hearts by repenting of their sin and accepting Christ. I'll pray that everyone here experiences a fiery tongue about their heads, that they too may speak in tongues in this world. You know, we may not know other languages, but we know the language of love, the language of mercy, the language of forgiveness. And some of you know the language of compassion and patience and kindness and humility. And the language we need is the language we'll be given. I will pray everyone speaks with fire the message of Jesus in the language the Holy Spirit ignites in them. And finally, I pray for an awakening in this church and in this body. I pray that every heart here seeks to build a friendship with the Holy Spirit that is like no other. Lord, I lift all of us to You today and every day and ask You to move in our hearts like never before, that we may confess our love for You to others and bring glory to Your name. In the name of the Son, all the people said, Amen. Amen.